And that was a disgraceful performance, in my opinion. We threw that game. We gave it away by doing that. We gave them the friggin' game. In my opinion, that sucked. What's that? Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Oh, man. Auto Press episode 32.
We got to talk about playoffs.
Playoffs?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
The famous Jim Mora press conference.
That was awesome.
It just never gets old.
No. Brooks Koepka had his press conference today. Watch a little bit of that on Golf Channel.
This is a day later than usual.
Are we going to get tired of the media asking Brooks if he cares about these events and stuff like that?
What'd he say?
Everybody just asks him, hey, are you going to practice for this one? Like now is this whole thing, like this cool guy, Brooks doesn't practice deal.
Well, did he say he was going to practice?
He started talking. He's like, listen, you guys have made this whole thing up that I don't like golf. I love golf. I love competing.
I love this. Now he's backtracking.
Now he's backtracking. Then he started complaining. He said, you know what I don't love? I don't love 5.5 hour rounds. If you think about it, I really only play for about 5 minutes out there, and then I walk around by myself for 4.5 hours, and that's pretty boring. Which I don't hate that play, but I mean, come on, man. He won that Wyndham Rewards thing. Then he also won the Aon Challenge.
Yeah.
And he had quotes in it like, yeah, I was thinking about the Aon Challenge and looking at the risk reward holes.
He had
no idea what that was.
He got like $1.5 million.
$1 million.
Or $1 million. Yeah, he made it was over $4 million the week of the Wyndham, because he won the Aon Challenge, the Wyndham Challenge.
And he didn't play in the Wyndham.
Sorry, he didn't play the Wyndham the week before. Whatever.
No, he
the still, WGC.
He won like $4 million last week and didn't play.
That's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So did you see some of the golf this weekend?
Yeah, I got to watch quite a bit on Sunday. So that was good.
JT Poston, a bogey-free 62.
First bogey-free tournament.
Yeah.
Not just final round.
That's true.
Bogey-free tournament.
That's first, amazing.
First one to win since Trevino did it in 74.
That's unreal.
To win. Earlier this year, we had Scott Piercy did it.
Yeah.
Charles Howell did it a few years ago, but they both didn't win the tournament.
What's more impressive, to do it and win or to do it and not win?
I think it's just impressive in general.
Yeah. I can't believe you could play 72 holes and not make a bogey and not win the tournament.
Yeah, just play better.
These guys are good.
It was impressive, though. Western Carolina grad, our friend Lawson King.
Lawson King, Jackson Bishop.
Yeah,
but a couple.
I think they're friends with them.
Red Elephants.
The postman.
They went up there. Seemed to be very well liked on tour.
Yeah, unless you're Bob Mann.
Yeah.
When do you want to talk about that?
Oh, you can go ahead. If y'all hadn't seen it, it was on Twitter. Bob Mann sent a letter to JT Poston.
Do you know who Bob Mann is?
It sounded like he taught Hubert Green.
Okay. I've never heard of him.
That was in that letter. Basically, he sent a letter to JT Poston. I think it was dated in July.
July 13th.
So within a month, saying that that there were a couple things wrong with his swing, and if he needed to get them fixed, that he could call him.
Mm-hmm.
And then you made some comment about knowing some guy that he knew, small world. I mean, I almost thought it was a joke.
But then he would send another one to Tom Hoagie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Saying that there were two things you had to do, and he did one of them. But
two constants.
But Tom Hoagie had no, wasn't even close on the other one.
And earlier this week, I think Keith Mitchell had tweeted it out. That's how it kind of became known.
That's hilarious.
How many people do you think have called Bob Mann? I mean, his information is just blasted out there.
Oh, yeah.
You think people are just... I mean, there's got to be some trolls just...
Absolutely.
I thought about doing it today. I really did.
I wish you had.
I just didn't know what to say. I was almost going to call him and see if he'd come on the podcast.
Yeah, you should have. It's still early out there. I think he was in the West Coast.
But I got to watch quite a bit Sunday. I watched a little bit sporadically throughout the week. I was going to open this up, just kind of... talking about Jordan Spieth and what is going on there.
Holy cow.
Three rounds. The first, he only played three rounds. But he shot
64
the
first round.
By the way,
he was one of my picks, and he was in 12th going into the third round.
He looked pretty good. He had a ball out of bounds three rounds in a row.
That is hard to do.
I'll bet you there's 80 guys on tour, more maybe, that haven't hit it out of bounds this year.
Probably more than that.
Probably more.
Yeah.
You think it's north of 100?
100 guys. I would probably say there are probably 100 guys that have not hit a ball out of bounds.
You don't see it happen that often on the PGA Tour.
I mean, no.
For one, they don't really have it on tour. You know, it's not like it's right there. It was at the British Open. But most of the places they go to don't have out of bounds right there. For Jordan Spieth to do it three rounds in a row is incredible.
Shot the highest round of the week, I think, on Saturday with 77. He's searching
too. He was on the range and talking about his swing. I don't know. I feel like he's a very loyal person, but I feel like there could be some drastic changes coming soon. I mean, he's not even going to be considered for the President's Cup, is he?
I mean, how could he be?
If he makes a decent run in the playoffs, but it's not looking like he's gonna.
I mean, I think he was. Is he outside the? What is he in the FedEx Cup? He's probably outside the top 100. Is he that bad?
No.
He had some good finishes in the majors, which is kind of surprising.
Yeah,
but man, I don't know. Has not been great for Spieth.
I feel for the guy. I mean, like, he went searching for something that he didn't have. You can tell he was trying to hit it further.
He's 69th in the FedEx Cup.
All right.
So nice.
Yeah. Good one. So he's got to make the cut this week and do something decent to keep going. Because they go to low 70 after this.
Yeah, I like the... I think I do like the playoffs being in August. They're going to get a lot more attention. And with it only being three, you know, 125 to 100 to 70 to 30, that just drags out. So to go from 125 to 70, you got to have some guys that play well to stay in. I haven't looked at the math, but I would think anybody, you know, as volatile as they say the points are, anybody in the 60 and higher or 50 and higher has to be a little concerned if they make it or if they miss the cut, they may not make it.
I don't know the math either, but it is pretty cool. I mean, we've got, what were we saying at lunch today? There's 100 and at least 121 of the 125 that are exempt playing.
Right.
And I think the four, you didn't know about Rafa, who's having a baby, but it's Rafa Cabrera-Bello, Henrik Stenson,
Paul Casey,
and
Sam Burns.
And Sam Burns, who's hurt.
Sam Burns is hurt. Paul Casey played last week, and he said, there was a quote they asked him about skipping, and he said it's going to be a lot more volatile at the Tour Championship. So now I don't know why he played last week and didn't play this week.
He was trying to get more Wyndham Rewards points.
Yeah, you know? Obviously.
Yeah.
We saw that clip with we retweeted it with Kuchar and Rory.
Yeah.
When Kuchar makes the comment, he's like, I can't believe you beat me by 2 points for $300,000. And neither one of them played the last event.
There you go, Cooch.
Those guys make so much money that Cooch won't go. I mean, 2 points is pretty much making the cut.
Yeah.
100%. You go make the cut, you will get more than 2 points.
Mm-hmm.
And he could have done that and got an extra $300,000, and he didn't.
It was a tough cut to make, though, but Kuchar never misses a cut. I mean, what was a cut this week? It was four or five under?
Four, I think.
I think it was, Dom was three, 68, 69.
It was four then.
Went home. That's crazy. Cuts have been so tight this year.
Well, from the cut to the leader on Friday was seven shots.
That's crazy.
Over 2 days.
It's awesome, though. I mean, that's exciting.
And then, you know, next year they're going to 65.
Is that in place? They're actually doing that?
They're doing it because they're getting rid of the the made cut did not finish.
Okay.
Because, you know, if they had more than 78 guys that made the cut, they'd cut again on Saturday to the low 70. So now it's just going to be 65 in ties. No.
They all play.
No cut.
And they're doing another thing next year. They're making the opposite field events smaller.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Yeah, that's too bad.
They're moving them down to like 120 guys?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Maybe. Do they not like David Brigagno and Jonathan Kay playing in them?
That must be it. But if that's the case, offer up more sponsor exemptions, you know?
Yeah.
Be like, hey, guys, you're putting your name on the tournament. Who do you want to see in the event? Maybe we can get it like a Scotty Scheffler who's third on the Corn Ferry Tour, or some more of these younger guys are coming out. I mean, if Doc Redmond hadn't have finished third in that one event to get conditional status, he'd be playing on nothing right now, and he won the U.S. Amateur 2 years ago.
Did you see what the USGA did?
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that's pretty good. So what they did...
It is good. It's just, why was this not happening before?
Yeah, so what they did is they said for the USAM winner and the runner-up who are exempt in the U.S. Open, they can not... Previously, they had to keep their amateur status to play in the U.S. Open under that exemption, and now they're changing it. So that Victor Hovland could have gone ahead and turned pro.
Finished 13th, he'd be on tour now.
And gotten his points.
Yeah.
Whereas this year, he did not get any credit for playing in that, no points.
What about guys that are like top 50 in the WAGR, the World Amateur Golf Ranking? They're exempt into sectionals right now. So like this year, Matthew Wolf couldn't go straight to sectionals because he was only exempt to it as an amateur. He had to go to local and say, hey, I'm going to turn pro. And he had to try to go through that way. I wonder if you can get exempt in a sectional through an amateur thing like that and then turn pro. I haven't looked it up, but that would make sense too.
Where, so if, so Matthew Wolf is exempt and he can say, I'm or exempt as an amateur.
Yeah.
But since he turned pro, he had to go to local.
Right.
Oh.
He turned pro after the local qualifiers, but he had to enter local qualifying because he wasn't going to.
I gotcha.
Yeah. He wanted to enter as a pro. Whenever it happened. But I thought that was kind of screwy. You've earned an exemption through one way. Why not just be able to sign up? And then, like, hey, maybe if they make it. Like, if I made the U.S. Amateur as an amateur, and I show up on Tuesday and I want to turn pro, why shouldn't I be able to? Can you?
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not trying for the U.S. Open, but did I say U.S. Amateur, U.S. Open, whatever?
No, you said U.S. Amateur.
Yeah.
You meant U.S. Open.
Everybody knows what I meant. Like, if I go Monday qualified for a PGA Tour event and then get in, I should be able to say, hey, I'm going to turn pro now. I'm going to accept this money. Like,
I think the current rule is you have to declare it before
qualifying for the event. He was an amateur, got a hole in one.
Well, that was also 1992.
I don't care.
I mean, that's a contest. That's a...
Well, a PGA Tour event's a contest.
I'm just telling you, that's a heel cut nine-iron, he said.
I think you should be able to declare after you get into something and be like, you know what? I qualified. I'm now going to take the money. I'm gonna play as a pro now.
Don't you think Victor Hovland would have taken the 13th place money at the U.S. Open?
Yeah. Why didn't he?
Because he couldn't.
That's the blue coats, the USGA, always doing something.
Well, I think this time they actually... At least got something right.
They've made an advancement.
But only because...
That's going to hurt my theory that an amateur is going to contend, though.
Now, you said they're going to win.
Yeah. Did I say win or
contend? I think you said win.
I think I've said both. I've had some people... Lee Rogers from our TNG and a good friend of the pod, he agrees with me that he thinks somebody's going to contend in it.
Well...
He thinks Patton's wrong. Patton, if you're out there listening, you're wrong.
Well, we know how your kid's future mortgage, whatever, pick turned out last week. So
yeah.
I don't know that we want to listen to your prognostications on that. Why don't you tell everybody how Bill Haas did?
I don't want to talk about that.
At all?
No. Bill Haas really let me down. He was off to a good start. He was in the top 10 after his morning wave on Thursday. And then that was it.
After the morning wave on Thursday.
Then before he teed off on Friday, he was in like 38th.
Yeah, and
so he went from 11th to 38th place without stepping on the grounds.
It's amazing.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm sorry to let everybody down.
It's all right. I'm sure you can redeem yourself this week. Have you looked at any Bovada odds this week?
No. I was letting you do that. Do I need to get one too?
I mean, if you want.
Yeah, I do want to.
I looked a little earlier, and for all listeners out there, I'm going to try to do a little bit better than JP. Although he did try to give you Bill Haas at 9-1 odds.
Was that bad?
That's not great odds
for a top 10.
I'm just saying, if they're giving you 9-1, it's probably not that likely it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you one. I'm going to give you Patrick Cantlay.
Dude, that's a great pick.
Top 10 for plus 210. So you more than...
That's 2-1.
You're more than going to double your money.
9-1 was way more than double your money.
I know. That's what I'm just saying.
Hold on. You're basing this off of the odds that were given?
Yeah, your pick was terrible.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, he finished 40-something.
Yeah, well, it happens, you know?
So anyway, write it down. Patrick Cantlay, top 10, plus 210.
I've got a college lock of the week. Top Asian player at plus 1,100.
You can find all these on Bovada.com, by the way. These are real odds.
CT Pan.
Plus 1,100? Who are the other competitors?
Hideki Matsuyama.
Oh, wow.
Byung-Hyun Han.
Ben On.
I want to talk about that, by the way.
Hold on. Who are the other competitors?
Sung J.M. Siwoo Kim.
Oh my gosh.
Kiri Deck, Epi Barnrat.
There's a better chance CT Pan finishes last out of all those people than first.
I'm withdrawing my previous.
That's a terrible pick.
Dang it. I need to get something outlandish, though. You can bet on top Canadian players. This is great.
You can bet on anything you want.
All right. Let me think Come about back this to for it. A little bit.
Anyway, what were you going to ask?
Ben On. Mm-hmm. Byung-Hyun Han. When did he decide to go back to his original name? He won the U.S. Amateur in 2009.
As Ben.
And was going by Ben. And now all of a sudden he's Byung-Hyun Han.
He's getting back to his roots.
But do people know that he won the U.S. Amateur? They didn't talk about it.
I don't think so.
They didn't talk about it once on Sunday. Yeah. They were like, yeah, Byung-Hyun Han, he was a great player, came up, worked with David Ledbetter, went to Europe. Do you think they didn't know that he won the U.S. Amateur?
There's a decent chance.
Because, like, searching Byung-Hyun isn't going to bring anything? I mean, you have to do a deep dive to see it's not Ben. I want to see what the trophy says. You think the trophy says Byung-Hyun, or does it say Ben?
I've never gotten this far down a rabbit hole on Ben On.
Well, I was getting concerned when they didn't bring up that he won the U.S. Amateur. I mean, he was the youngest player, I think, to ever win it.
I think you're right. Was it at Pebble Beach when he won?
I don't know. Then he made it to semis like a year later and then turned pro. And it looked like we were never going to hear from him again. And then he started just doing well in Europe, and now he's over here.
Won the 2009 U.S. Amateur.
Where was it?
He
beat Ben Martin in the finals, I think.
I think he beat him like
he drummed him
8-6 or something.
Did you play in that USAM?
Mm-mm. I played in 2004.
Yeah, you were pro in 2009. Weren't you?
Age 7. He won the USAM at age 17. Beat Ben Martin, who's kind of, I think Ben Martin's hurt right now.
Yeah.
Beat him 7-5 at Southern Hills in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
And then the next year, did he make it to the semis?
Yes. 2010 U.S. Amateur, first defending champion to advance to the semifinal since Tiger Woods.
And he lost to some dude from Stanford.
He took a 3-up lead after 9 holes in semifinals, and he ended up getting beat by David Chung, beat him 1-up.
Yeah. Where did David Chung go?
Man, I don't know. David Chung was playing legit. There for a while.
He was legit.
That's a pretty good call for you there, JP.
I've followed amateur golf for a while.
I'd say. You followed that pretty
well. Ben
pretty
On,
close.
Ben On used it just I always thought it was interesting that he was Ben On and he didn't finish college. I mean he only went for a year, maybe even half a year. I don't even know.
Why would you go to college if you're 17 and you won the USAM?
I don't know. What else would he think he's going to do? He lived in America for a while. He went to the Ledbetter Academy. Maybe he just thought that was the option. He wanted to stay amateur and play in the Masters and U.S. Open, probably.
Yep.
But did you see what happened on the last hole? He hit it left on 18.
Hold on, who is he?
Ben. Okay. Byung-Hyun. And he needed a birdie on 18 to get into a playoff with the postman. And he was way left, like had no shot. But somehow he determined that there was like a scoreboard or something immovable in his line. That, I mean.
Did they give him a drop?
They gave him a drop and it took him out to like an open spot. where he was able to hit it clearly on the green. Where he was at, he would have had to eliminate the trees for that thing to be in play.
Really?
It was incredible, the drops that they can get based on something like that. Like he's like, yeah, I think that I can thread it through here, and that's going to be my way. And I might be wrong on this. I was trying to – I didn't have the sound on when I was watching it, so I don't know what all they were saying, but it looked really sketchy.
Wow.
And then he hit it on the green. Almost made the birdie putt.
Really?
He hit the hole. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. There are a lot of rules officials that get coaxed into some drops out there. I mean, we had some bad ones. Was it DJ that got one because he said he was going to hit it like upside down and left-handed? He got a drop off a cart path.
There was one where they were like,
it was a month or two
Rory
ago.
Was trying to do it.
And then Rory tried to do like, the same thing, and the guy was like, come on.
Come on, man.
And he wouldn't give it to him.
Good for him.
Yeah. I mean, Kuchar tried to get a drop from a divot in a fairway.
I'm not going to talk about that again. I was on Kuchar's side with that.
You were. I can't believe it.
I'd still, if you look at that video, that ball plugged. He was given bad information from the video person, from Mark Immelman. Mark Immelman gave him bad information. That ball did not land way behind it. Bounced once and plugged.
His argument was that it plugged on the second hop.
Yeah. Well, it did. It bounced up and landed back in its mark. Go back and watch the video. If you haven't seen it, look it up.
I never thought we would have to talk about Matt Kuchar this much on the podcast.
He comes up every week. I'm just glad you're saying it correctly.
Well, I got called out multiple times for that. Kuchar.
Webb Simpson.
Ooh, that was your pick.
That was my pick. They're going to rename the championship the Webb Simpson Classic.
Well, he did name one of his kids like, after it.
He's like 98 under par there.
Yeah, 21 under.
Yeah. If he finishes like one shot worse, he ties Hovland, I think, and Hovland gets his PGA Tour card.
Mm.
Yeah.
Man. I mean, the thing is with, it sucks. I guess Hovland goes to Corn Ferry Finals.
Which we'll talk about.
But I think we're going to talk about that. I think we're going to hold off on that till next week.
When
to
it
really,
starts,
really
deep
get
dive.
Into it. Because I was looking. So there's still another Webb event this week.
Right. They're a big one. This one's worth more points, too.
Yeah. And they got to figure out the top 75 for that.
Yeah,
so
I agree.
I think we can really break down next week.
That'd be a good one.
Yeah.
Maybe
so,
get somebody on from there.
From the Webb Finals.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
That'd be great. But Webb Simpson, the Wyndham Championship legend, afterwards, I don't know if you saw this before the week. So last week he was in a press conference and they were talking to him. And all these guys love talking when they text Tiger Woods. You ever notice that?
Oh, yeah.
They're like, oh, yeah, I texted Tiger the other day. Oh, what'd he say? But anyway, Webb had texted him after the FedEx St. Jude where he finished second. He's like, hey, Tiger, I thought I was going to move up more in the standings. Like, Tiger has any control over the freaking points. Like, come on, Webb. It's pretty cut and dry. And Tiger just responded, play better.
I like it. I put that out there. He knows the Tuesday night golf motto.
Exactly. Well, last week, Webb played well. Webb's caddy, I think we all know who he, well, maybe not, you probably do. I do. Paul Tesori.
Paul Tesori, yeah.
Legend out there, really good player himself. His wife got on Twitter and said Paul Tesori's wife.
Okay.
And she like added Tiger Woods and was like, hey Tiger, that's back to back runner ups. Is that play better enough for you? We love going to Australia in December. We love playing for Team USA, like all this stuff.
Oh man.
When did caddies' wives get involved with the team?
Social media.
I mean, I don't hate it, like I'm not trying to undermine wives or girls or whatever. But this whole team thing on the PGA Tour and the entourages is getting a little out of control, or has been, probably.
Well, whatever the U.S. does in the President's Cup, if we could figure that out for the Ryder Cups, that'd be a lot nicer than going over in December in Australia and beating the shit out of people that nobody even – they don't even care. They don't even all speak the same language.
The President's Cup?
Yeah. Well, I think the President's Cup is so stupid.
It is. It's a PGA Tour thing that they just created.
Sorry, I'm
on board.
I probably won't even watch it.
I will because Tiger will hopefully be playing. Actually, I don't know. I didn't watch
the
last
the
one.
U.S. ever what we tied one President's Cup? Was that when Tiger and Ernie had that like they were playing for it, and they just ended up tying it.
It is stupid.
I don't know why you'd just be begging so hard to get on the President's Cup team.
There's probably some sort of bonus worked in their contracts.
I know, but we just figured out Matt Kuchar won't go play in the Wyndham for 2 points to pass Rory for $300,000.
I don't know.
I get it if you've never been on one of those teams, but Webb's been on a bunch.
Right.
I mean, I just wouldn't want...
I wouldn't want to go do it in December. Like, those guys need a break. Spend some time with your family. It's the holiday season.
Yeah.
Take some time off, Webb.
Maybe by the time December rolls around, we'll be looking for something to talk about.
Although, it would be cool, because that's kind of when the Australian Open and the Australian Masters and all that is. And those used to be really big events. Like, Jack played in them.
Right.
Tiger early on played in them. Maybe this will kind of help bring those back to glory. Like, guys will stick around down there a little bit and play.
But didn't they... They had it somewhere over there maybe 4 years ago. They had it in, like, New Zealand or somewhere.
The
President's Cup.
So it's been down there?
Yeah, I think it was in Melbourne.
I feel like this is a later... Melbourne's in Australia. That's where it is this year.
Maybe it's going back.
I think it's... Is it Royal Melbourne?
Yeah, I think that's where it was.
I don't know. We got Google. Are you Googling it?
I'll look it up. Why you keep talking about how much you like the President's Cup.
I think, is it a different date? Or has it always been December?
I think it's always in December. I don't know. Well,
I must really not care about it. I mean, I was just humming the Ryder Cup song the other day.
How could you not?
It's my I wish I could get it as a ringtone. That's the thing that I'll get amped up for. I mean, I'll wake up first thing in the morning and watch that.
Oh, especially when it's over in Europe and you wake up and you're like, oh man, we got beaten 3 of the 4 morning matches. Was it last year?
Last year we crushed them in the first morning match.
Right, but no, I wasn't getting there. This is where you're doing the podcast, but didn't you try to like stay up all night watching it? Because it came on at like 1 a.m.?
I think I probably did.
I feel like you did.
Yeah, that would be something I would do.
So in 2011, it was at Royal Melbourne.
Where is it this year? Same place?
For some reason, this only goes to 2013.
Is that Wikipedia?
It's in Muirfield.
It's a PGA Tour created event, right?
Yeah.
It's like Tim Fincham's baby.
It's terrible.
But there you go. Hey.
Although, speaking of the President's Cup.
There's a good site, Muirfield.
There's
where America plays every year.
They did that in 2013.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they do a good job of selecting sites.
2019 Royal Melbourne.
So it's back there.
Quail Hollow.
Come on.
In 2021.
That's another great Ryder Cup venue that we could possibly have.
2023 is to be determined, and then 2025 TPC Harding Park. Who cares?
San Francisco cares.
Oh yeah, probably. But they are in Liberty National in 2017, which is where
that's where they
this tournament is this week.
I don't think they liked it then. They like the course now, maybe.
Well, the U.S., in case you care, the U.S. beat them 19 to 11.
Thrilling.
30 points up for grabs.
Thrilling.
Yeah.
I got nothing else on the Wyndham.
Yeah, I did not get to see a lot of it, but I don't know. Seemed like JT Poston was a popular winner. A lot of people liked him. Be intrigued to see. I saw that, I guess maybe I follow his caddy somewhere, and they're paired with Tiger Woods this week, JT Poston.
Really?
And he was loving it.
Is that the first time he's played with him?
It must be.
Dang, Tiger is back.
It was Tiger, JT, and Scott Piercy.
Weird.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they do the pairings.
How do you feel about Tiger this week?
I've given up on Tiger this year.
Oh.
Okay. I told you we should have given up on him a while ago.
I tried. Remember last week? I was like, I think he should just be done. Just take it all off.
That's what I mean.
But now he's playing all 3 playoff events.
What is he in the FedEx Cup? 30th or so?
No. Is he that low?
I don't know. I'm guessing.
I was going to say top 15.
No chance.
Why not?
I bet he's above 25.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he's in. When has he played? He missed the cut at the British. Did he miss the cut at the PGA?
He's 28th.
Ha!
He's fallen way back.
He doesn't play.
They must be doing the pairings
by the points.
Because it's Scott Piercy, JT Poston, then Tiger.
Okay.
Are all in order.
Yeah, so, I mean, Tiger has not been playing. We've talked about it extensively on the podcast. He played the Masters, he played the Memorial, and he played the three majors.
Yeah. You know who has been playing?
Did Tiger play the WGC?
No. Somebody that has been playing, Sung J.M., if he makes it to the Tour Championship, he's going to play 35 events this year.
Holy cow. Out of how many? 40?
He doesn't have a permanent residence here.
So where does he look?
He just goes week to week.
So he needs somewhere to stay.
He's like, I got nothing else to do. Last year when he locked up his card, he won one of the first events on the web tour last year and had it locked up and still played every single event, I think.
Why does he not have a house?
I don't know. I think he missed one event last year and it was for like a wedding or something.
Maybe he just loves golf.
Yeah.
Maybe Brooke. Well, how many times would Brooks win if he played 35 times? The same amount?
Two. Because there's going to be four majors and two wins. I mean, he doesn't contend in the 30 events that he plays.
Well, he did win the WGC event.
He did. But that was a major to him. He loves that event.
What were you asking me before we went on air? If I'm going to do one of these playoff things? Like, is there like a pool?
No.
Is that what you're talking about?
No, I was asking if we were going to do the playoff song, I think.
Oh, I thought maybe like DraftKings had something with a pool.
I think that's what I was saying about the playoff song, the intro.
Oh, I gotcha.
Maybe not. Can't remember.
Anyway, what do you think about what do you think about the playoffs?
I'm excited because a lot of good players are playing. Who has it this week? Does CBS have it?
I think so.
That's going to be all right. I like CBS's coverage.
Really?
Well, I like Amanda Baleonis.
So. Okay, well, she does the softball interviews at the end.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Let's talk about your birdie on 15.
And then she laughs and giggles. I don't know. I think the playoffs are... I brought this up a few weeks ago. I think that they're... No, I didn't bring up about the playoffs, but these are going to be more of a coming out party for Matthew Wolf. And I think he makes a run. I said it earlier, President's Cup pick. I think we need him on the President's Cup.
That would get people to watch.
Yeah.
I should say that'd get more people like me and you to watch. Because right now I really have zero interest in it.
You don't want to watch Brant Snedeker and Matt Kuchar go to Australia to play an exhibition event against...
I'm ready for those two to get off the team.
But I think Matthew Wolf makes a run through the playoffs and gets himself in a real real talk of the President's Cup and Rookie of the Year.
What about like a guy from 100 to 125 that kind of can make a run?
We got Patton up there. Did you see his quote last week?
Mm-mm.
He was like, listen, you can't win the playoffs if you don't get into them.
Hey, well, he went from like 129 to 118, but
yeah,
and it worked out for him. But I did not understand why he didn't play the Barracuda. I mean, he was like 125, didn't play the Barracuda, went to 129.
Yeah.
It worked out. He's now 118.
The guy that I like that's not in the position you're talking about, the 120 or whatever, but he's still pretty high up there. I mean, he's got to work to get into the next event. If you want to talk about guys that are not qualified now, maybe we can do that. Guys that aren't qualified now that can make a run. I like Russell Henley.
Yeah, somebody Georgia above guy. The top above 70. Above the
top 70. I'm going to go Russell Henley's going to get to the Tour Championship. He's been playing pretty well.
Yeah.
He likes going on streaks like that.
He's definitely hot and cold.
I think he can make a run. I think a guy like Patrick Rogers, who's kind of been a little cold, he was hot earlier in the year, I think he could make a run.
He's number 100. So I like, right below him, I like Cameron Tringali. Cameron Tringali at 101. He has been playing very well lately. I think he could make a run. And then the guy that I picked last week who had a good finish, Sepp Straka at 111.
Another Georgia guy.
He just keeps popping up on the leaderboard. You look at somebody like him and you feel like he's played well a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And he's 111th.
Right.
And I'm like, man, did he just get started late? Did he not play well early? Because, you know, I felt like from the U.S. Open on, he made a little bit of a splash at the U.S. Open, but then he was up there a bunch, finishing top 30, top 20.
He's done well. Joakim Niemann was outside the top 125 going into the U.S. Open. There's a guy that's been pretty hot lately. He's 74.
Man, Matthew Wolff is one spot behind Jordan Spieth.
He's played four events.
He's got three less points than Spieth. That's crazy.
That is, and zero. He didn't play any majors.
Yeah, and Spieth played well in a couple.
He didn't qualify for the British Open.
No, he played no majors.
Yeah, zero majors.
And Spieth played well in a few of them.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Who all did I say? Joakim, Russell Henley, and Patrick Rogers.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my three above 70 to make it to the Atlanta, the road to Atlanta, which is happening good when you're playing in the Willow Point Southeastern Amateur.
Cam Tringali, Sepp Straka, and this guy who's been playing well lately, Martin Laird, all on playing well. That's correct. I've got two golf tournaments in the next three weekends.
Oh, club championship at week.
The club championship this weekend, the Aaron Cup, named after Tommy Aaron.
Wow.
120 tee time on Friday.
Who are the contenders in that? You, peeps?
We've got a big field this year. We have 14 golfers.
All right.
In the championship flight.
Is Jason Gallagher, did he join?
Jonathan.
Or Jonathan.
Yes. I don't know when he joined, but he's playing. He's a good player.
Yeah.
Hold on, I've got it. So we've got Jeb Bates, Mark Montgomery,
Lee
Jim
Rogers
Foote.
Playing.
Yep, Tim Lovell, Jonathan Galliard, Sam Halsey, me, John Wright, Cooper Embry, Peeps, Lee Rogers, Jimbo Wilkins, Trey Wood, and John Yarger.
Mm.
So 14 for us is actually, that's a lot in the club championship.
So Friday's the first round?
Friday.
I might have to come out.
Yeah, come on out. And then, as you said, got the Willow Am with Yogi over at Willow Point in Alex City in 2 weeks. And then I actually talked to David Denham today because we are officially 2 months away from our U.S. four ball qualifying. And he was making sure my game was going to be in shape.
He's checking up on you?
Yeah.
I haven't talked to Denham in a while.
He was checking up on
Denham,
me today.
What's up, man? Where have you been? I don't think I've talked to him since the State Am.
Yeah.
I really haven't.
Well, he was checking up on me today.
Dang. Yeah, I haven't talked to him since July 12th.
Told him I was going to be ready. I was still waiting on my Bradley Hughes lesson.
We got to get Bradley Hughes on here.
Not materialized yet.
You got to go up there, man.
No, I'm waiting for him to come to Athens.
Oh, my gosh. You're trying to cheapen it.
Well, I'm just trying to make it time sensitive.
Yeah. You know, the last time that one of us was in Alex City or Willow Point, Tiger Woods won.
That's true.
So maybe.
So, wow.
I'm not going to get political.
Did you
stay away from that?
Did you cry when Tiger won the Tour Championship?
Tour Championship?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I cried at the Masters.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I was just thinking if
Tour Championship, I was just in shock. I didn't know what to do. It was just kind of like, and it also didn't, I mean, the Masters is a limited field, but it's a major. Tour Championship was 30 people, and it just, no cut, you know, it didn't do it for me.
Well, I mean, if it started today and he's 28th, he'd be 10 down
he's
Brooks.
10 back.
I mean, he's not beating Brooks by 10 shots over 4 days.
It's going to be tough.
We'll get into that, but
as it goes further,
that's just goofy.
I gotta look up my picks for this week. Who do I got? Where are we at? Are we at that point in the show?
Yeah,
I still didn't do my house, my college fund bet.
Yeah, because you bet on the guy that...
You talked me out of the one that I liked, and now that's going to materialize.
I will. You can bet it with me. Just the right. CT Pan.
CT Pan will be the low Asian.
Well, I'll give you 2 sushi lunches to 1.
Okay.
That he doesn't.
I'm taking it.
So you're only going to owe me 1 after he's not.
All right. That's fine.
Hell, I'll give you 3. That's because I feel bad.
Okay.
I'll give you 3.
Sushi burrito or bluefin?
Either one.
I'm going to take a screenshot of these top Asian players. There's only like 6 of them.
He's not going to beat. There was one that you said that he's not going to beat.
Sung Jae-im?
No. Not Hideki. Who else did you say?
Ben-an?
Yeah, he's not beating Ben-an.
Ben-an's not going to play well this week.
Ben-an. Where do you come up with your pronunciations?
I'm going back to Ben-an.
Brooks Koepka's $12,000 this week.
I'm just going to do a tournament matchup for my college fun lock of the week.
What do you have?
Brant Snedeker versus Gary Woodland. And Brant's at plus 105.
You taking Snedeker? Woodland just had...
I'm taking Snedeker.
Woodland just had twins like a week ago.
Yeah, he's not here.
All right, let me write it down.
Both players must tee off in round 1 to have action.
Over Gary Woodland. That's a good pick.
Yeah, that's good value.
So what's Woodland, like minus 135?
Exactly. Did you look that up over there?
No.
How do you know that?
I looked at a lot of matchups in my day.
That's incredible.
My pick this week, I've got in top 10 is plus 210, but Patrick Cantlay. And then, I don't know. A lot of guys playing this week. Not riding Jordan Spieth. Cantlay's
a powerful, he's a popular pick. I would want to back, and I never would want to do this, but DeChambeau, I feel.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How about how hot he was earlier in the year?
Right. He's been terrible lately. I don't think he's...
He hadn't been terrible, but...
been terrible.
But he had that run.
Actually, he finished 2nd of the 3M, 8th of the Travelers.
Yeah, but look at the...
The last 2 weeks he's done nothing.
Go back to the...
Schwab.
Masters. 29th, 71st, 103rd, 82nd, 22nd, 35th.
Well, he's trending. He's a fall-time player. Morikawa. Hard to go against him. All right, what do I need? I need 3 picks. My 3 picks for the winners, I'm going to pick Rory. I'm going to pick Bubba Watson.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm going to pick Charles Howell III.
Could probably get some good odds on him to win, thinking that he's won like twice ever.
They're all gonna play well.
I'll do Cantlay, John Rahm, and Justin Thomas. I keep having faith in Justin Thomas, and I'm not real sure why. Picked him a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, he's due. He's been hurt. So we've accomplished everything. Oh, auto press move of the week.
Yeah.
We haven't done that.
My auto press move of the week, I mentioned it earlier, and I love auto pressing this guy, is Matt Kuchar. I mean, I just don't understand making a comment. 2 points. 2 FedEx Cup points for $300,000, and he doesn't play the event.
Yeah.
This is a guy that stiffed his caddy.
Stiffed him.
Over he's 50 grand.
He stiffed his caddy, didn't give Sergio that putt.
Oh, man. Tried to get a drop.
He went full Trump and said that they don't have any money in Mexico, so that's why he didn't pay his caddy.
Yeah, he's like, 5 grand's a ton to that guy.
Yeah, guy's a millionaire.
Just auto-press his whole year, but...
You've picked him a ton, though. That shows that you don't pick with your heart.
I try not to. I mean, he's what? That's he impressive. Was number 1 in the FedEx Cup for the entire year, pretty much.
Listen, that's impressive. I'm giving you kudos. Me, I would have just written, if I don't like somebody, they're out. Although, I picked Bubba, and I hate Bubba.
I think I've picked Bubba once this year. I don't like Bubba either, but...
My auto press move of the week. I can't believe we didn't talk about this yet. Theodor Bjarne Olsen.
Oh, wow.
Got kicked off the plane for harassing flight attendants and going full Wolf of Wall Street on the plane.
Groped a woman and then peed in the aisle.
Peed in the aisle.
He said he took Ambien.
He got suspended from the European tour today.
For how long?
They didn't say. Undetermined.
Well, he said he took Ambien.
I don't know what that does.
I don't know. You get some crazy stories from it. I've never taken it, but
that must be what.
I mean, the dude's 29. He could not have gotten that drunk on a plane that he peed in the aisle.
Ian Poulter was trying to help him out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said him and I think Poulter was trying to calm him down and thought he'd calmed him down.
Poulter went to sleep.
Went to sleep and woke up and just all hell had broken loose on the plane.
You've seen Wolf of Wall Street, right?
Yeah.
It reminds me of that scene when they fly on the plane and Leonardo DiCaprio just loses it and he ends up waking up in like a straitjacket.
Yeah. I mean, there's no way the dude is a 29-year-old is getting just that hammered on a plane. And peeing in the aisle.
Yeah, that's a little aggressive.
I mean, I'll believe that he probably took Ambien or something that, I mean, just to
right.
drop your drawers in them.
So can we not auto press him?
Oh, absolutely. I mean,
why is he taking Ambien? How do you get Ambien?
You can get it for if you're going on a flight or
really they'll just give it to you.
Well, if you have sleep issues,
don't mix it.
Yeah, don't have alcohol with it.
So he's out. Probably can't do the race to Dubai. Poor guy.
Oh.
So he's auto-pressed. All right. Well, I think I got nothing else to talk about.
Yeah, I think that's...
we got Tiger back starting tomorrow morning.
What time's Tiger tee off?
I don't know.
With JT posting.
Tiger goes at... 7:43. Wow, let's go.
All right.
Live from all day.
Well, we know what you'll be doing tomorrow.
I got a busy day tomorrow. But whatever. Cool.
All right.
Next week
we're going to have
Corn Ferry recap.
We're going to have a big breakdown.
We need to try and get a guest. Maybe we should get there's this guy that kind of like does social media for the Corn Ferry that I'm friends with on Twitter.
No, there
maybe,
you go.
Maybe we should try and get him on. Although he stiffed me when I caddied in the Corn Ferry event. I'd send him a message and I'm like, hey man, look forward to seeing you. And then I saw him at the first tee. He was taking pictures of Kyle Westmoreland who we were playing with and I tried waving to the guy. He didn't care. He didn't recognize me.
Sounds like he'd be a great guest.
Yeah. Especially after I just threw him under the bus and ran it over.
All right, we'll figure out something.
Cool.
All right, have a good one.
What are you going to play? Is this Pearl Jam?